Let's bow together in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to worship together. I pray that you will bless us in the name of Christ. Amen. Many of you know that I graduated from college with a degree in philosophy. You know what a person with a degree in philosophy says in their job all the time? Do you want fries with that? It's not generally a job position for high pay, a degree position for high-paying jobs, but it does cause you to think in a different way than the average person, and you bring up quotes from people that the average person says, "I ain't reading that." Aristotle, for instance, is someone whose writings I read a bunch of, and the ancient philosopher Aristotle wrote of three different kinds of friendship. The first is a friendship of utility. In this relationship, the two parties are not in it for affection. They're not in it for pleasure. They are in it for the benefit each derives from the other. So we associate with one another because of our mutual usefulness. They're the most common type of friendship that you have. I have this friendship with a lady who works at Burger King. Virtually the only time I see her is when I go to Burger King. I give her money and she gives me food, or something which is supposed to pass as food. My mechanic is my friend because it benefits me when my car is in the shop. I'm his friend because he wants my business. He's my friend because I want a car that runs. A coworker is a friend of utility because, frankly, the workday would be most painful if he were not your friend. A classmate is a friend because we learn more when we study together, and this type of friendship is by nature self-regarding, selfishly motivated, though mutually satisfactory. These relationships are temporary. Whenever the benefit ends, typically so does the friendship. When they serve me a really, really, really bad meal at Burger King, I go to a different restaurant. When my mechanic stops being able to fix my car, I stop going to him. Aristotle's second kind of friendship is based on pleasure. It might be a mutual love of something like football. You may be friends with that crazy guy who you find just fun to be around. He makes you laugh. And, by the way, he gets pleasure out of your laughter. These pleasure friendships could be based on a mutual activity like golfing. You have your golfing buddies or your bowling team. You have a common interest which gives each of you pleasure, and it gives you more pleasure if you have someone else to do it with. So you have pleasure together. It's not based on utility, but upon pleasure. And when one of you stops liking to golf, the friendship dissipates. Think of your college friends or people who play in the same sports league. It's grounded in emotion they feel at a given time or during a certain activity. Because of that, these types of friendships are self-regarding and self-focused. As long as I have utility from it, as long as I gain pleasure from it, I'll be your friend. The third type of friendship which Aristotle wrote of was what he called a friendship of virtue. This kind of friendship is based on a mutual appreciation of the virtues the other person holds dear. So it is the type of friendship which develops when you see something in someone else and you really appreciate that virtue. In this kind of friendship, the people themselves and the qualities they represent provide the incentive for the two parties to be in each other's lives. And an interesting part of friendships of virtue is this: each wants for the other what is good for them and for their sake. Or to say it this way, person A wants for person B what is good for B for the sake of B. It is not a selfish relationship. There is no selfishness in friendships of virtue. And such friendships take time and trust to build. They depend also on mutual growth. And all three types of friendships are important. It is possible for friendships of utility to develop into friendships of pleasure and those to develop into friendships of virtue. They each serve a purpose in our lives, but it is when we enter into friendships of virtue that the full value of friendship is realized. The first two are essentially accidental friendships. The third is much more intentional. And it is the third type of friendship which is spoken of in the book of Proverbs. Solomon speaks powerfully about our need for friendships as we seek to live lives which are God-honoring. We might say that Proverbs instructs us to seek intentional friendships of virtue. Accidental friendships happen by chance and by and large offer little insight into how to live our lives. For those individuals who golf with me, they often give me helping hints on how to hit the ball better. Put your hips into it more. Hold the club in a particular way. But they very seldom give me any insight in how to be a better person. Friendships of virtue strive towards that. They take time, they take work, and they are worth it. King Solomon highlights the importance of choosing our friends carefully in Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Intentional friendships seek out wise men and women by design, knowing that friendship with fools leads to destruction. So the wise individual begins to plan out and search for ways that they can develop friendships of virtue. Solomon points to our need for friendships when he says in Proverbs 18:1, whoever isolates himself, whoever is a loner, tends to seek his own desires and opposes sound judgment. We need friends because they help us live a balanced and humble life. The proverb tells us there is foolishness in isolation. And it also tells us there's a foolishness in an inundation of friends. As one philosopher said, he who is a friend of all is a friend of none. Proverbs says, while there is wisdom in many counselors, assuming the counselors are godly individuals, Proverbs tells us a person of many friends comes to ruins. So the challenge for those seeking wisdom or those who are seeking to walk with the wise is this. How do we discover individuals worth befriending? And how do we become such individuals? How do we discover those few individuals who are worth befriending, and how do we become such an individual? The scripture gives us a number of qualities worth pursuing in our friendships. These are all from the book of Proverbs, since we are studying through the book of Proverbs. First, friendships of virtue are friendships which have consistency. So when you're looking for friendships of virtue, first look for consistency. Proverbs 17:17. A good and faithful friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. This consistency is an important difference between accidental friendships and intentional ones. It is a difference between friends of utility, friends of pleasure, and friends of virtue. Frankly, the camaraderie shared by football friends is somewhat temporary. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and I was a Bears fan. It was a glorious year in 1985 when I moved from Chicago to northern Wisconsin, on the western edge of Wisconsin, where half the church there were Vikings fans because we were an hour from Minneapolis, and half of them were Packers fans because it was the state of Wisconsin, and I came up in 1985 as a Bears fan. 85 was the year the Bears trounced everybody in the Super Bowl. But an interesting thing happened. Since I lived on the border with Minnesota, the football games I could get at that time, we didn't have cable, were all Vikings games. So 5 years every Sunday, I watched a Vikings game. And I started to appreciate the Vikings and root for them, except when they played the Bears. And then I was conflicted. After that, I moved to a church on the eastern edge of Wisconsin, north of Green Bay. And Green Bay has its own football team, the Packers. And since we didn't have cable there either, I got inundated with Packers games. And over 5 years, I got to love the Packers, except when they played the Bears and the Vikings. I became an oddball because I found myself splitting my passion between three otherwise mutually opposed teams. Others wore, I root for two teams, the Green Bay Packers and whoever's playing the Chicago Bears, or the Vikings. And I thought, I want to root for what at the time was the NFC Central, except for Detroit, because nobody likes Detroit. And then I moved to Colorado, and I hardly watch any Bears games, Vikings games, or Packers games. So guess what? I'm a Broncos fan. I wear orange and blue. Last week, or a couple weeks ago, someone was here and said, I had an orange shirt on, and said, I see you're a Broncos fan. I said, yeah, and I pulled up my trousers to reveal I had blue shorts on. Yeah. And because of that oddity, the casual accidental friendship I shared with other Bears fans, Vikings fans, Packers fans, and even Broncos fans is kind of dissipated. I remember one person who just was so irate that I was not a Cowboys fan that they could hardly stand to be in the same room with me. And that was long before the present political division. Perhaps it's because I have no consistency who I choose to vote for or root for. I don't really care who wins the Super Bowl. I just want to see a good game. And it's fine because when it comes to the type of friendships which allow us to speak into one another's lives, your football team doesn't matter. But consistency does. A faithful friend loves at all times, win or lose, look brilliant or look stupid. A faithful friend sticks with you. Friends of opportunity, accidental friends, tend to be fair weather friends. They are of no real value when you really need them. So we need to be careful to choose friends on the basis of character rather than personality or personal preference or what team they root for. Are they going to love at all times? Are they going to follow Philippians 4:8 in regard to your life? Committed to thinking only about what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. These type of people love at all times. Discarding any list of wrongs suffered, always thinking the best, always patient and kind, always looking out for your interest, consistently treating you the way Scripture tells us as believers in Jesus Christ, we are to treat one another. The cultivation of friendships indiscriminately can be disastrous. So begin looking for someone who is consistent, who will love always. A faithful friend who loves at all times, that person is rare. Proverbs 20 says that many a man proclaims his steadfast love, but a faithful man, who can find? You know, a brother is stuck with you. A brother is obligated to be some kind of a safety net. That's what family is for, but a friend chooses you. When someone loves you at all times, good and bad, when they love you when they don't have to, and they love you because they choose to, that person offers a worthy, intentional friendship of virtue. A true friend is rock solid. A second virtue to, or characteristic to look for in a faithful friend is that a faithful friend, a friend worth pursuing, is one who will offer wise counsel. Proverbs 27:6 rightly says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A true friend possesses a certain amount of candor. He will be open, honest, and sincere. He'll tell you like it is. He will challenge you when you need to be challenged. Reproof or challenges that are given in love are noble. Choose friends who are willing to disagree with you. You know, it's easy to surround yourself with yes men, but it's spiritually detrimental. One of the crises in our society today is that we tend to gather in little safe enclaves. So many on the far right have no friends who lean left. Many on the far left have no friends who lean right. We gather in little enclaves so that there's all Republicans in our neighborhood, all Democrats in our neighborhood, there's all people of color in our neighborhood, or no one of color in our neighborhood. We tend to shy away from diversified thought. If we surround ourselves only with people who think like us, only with people who will nod and appreciative of whatever we say, it is spiritually detrimental to our lives. We need to be thankful for our friends who offer criticism and offer an alternative point of view. We ought to take it as constructively as we can. Although we may find it difficult to correct a friend, we have a choice to make. If our friendship cannot endure frank discussion, and constructive criticism is not, and it can't endure constructive criticism, it's not a friendship worth investing our time in. We are blessed if we find someone interested enough in us to rebuke us. And rather than reject such candor, we should celebrate it. Proverbs 28:23, whoever rebukes a man will afterwards find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. We need friendships and men and women who will be bold and lovingly rebuke us. There are plenty of people who will flatter us in an attempt to gain something from us. Intentional friends seek only the joy of walking together in this world in a manner which is God-pleasing, so they counsel one another with love. Open, honest communication is what is needed. Finding such a friend is priceless. A genuine friend offers wise counsel, even a healthy clash of views. Real friends provide this type of constructive advice. The sage of Israel wrote, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. This counsel, even when it comes in the form of loving disapproval, is healthy and necessary if we are going to live God-honoring lives. Proverbs 27:9, oil and perfume make the heart glad. The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Friendship involves recommending even the difficult and conveying unwanted counsel. Such a counselor, such a friend, is to be cherished. Real friendship is like sharpening the blade of a sword. We become better because we are together with wise friends. It's interesting that Solomon speaks of iron sharpening iron, because for that to happen, friction occurs. I suppose if iron had feelings, it would have its feelings hurt. Often a faithful friend will reveal to you a blind area in your life, and it will hurt. It will hurt you because of its truthfulness. But this is significant. You need to remember, we need to remember, that there is a significant difference between hurting someone and harming them. A few weeks ago, you know that I went and I got my flu shot. And I got a rabies shot and a scabby shot, whatever it was, they stuck a needle in my arm. Okay, no, it wasn't a rabies shot. Shingles. And, you know, the flu shot wasn't that bad. But, man, the shot they gave me, the two shots in my left arm, the shingles shot and whatever the other one was, man, that hurt. You remember I had to miss a Sunday because I was running a fever afterwards. It was like a week later, my arm is still hurting. There's a big bruise there. Here's the thing. It hurt, but it didn't harm me. When a friend rebukes, it may hurt, but it is not designed to harm. And one of the key things we have to investigate in friendships is this. When a friend hurts us, is it designed to harm us? Because oftentimes a friend will say something which causes us to take a step back and go, wow, I can't believe you said that. And we have this tendency to then push back and reject the counsel of a wise friend because we got our feelings hurt when they intended not to harm us but to help us. There is a difference between someone feeling loved and someone being loved. I am almost certain that most children, in the midst of parental discipline, do not say, man, I'm so glad my dad loves me. Spank me again, Dad. Could you ground me for longer? That's a great sign of your love. The fact is that parents love their children, and that is what causes them to discipline their children. We need to seek intentional friendships of virtue with individuals who will offer us godly counsel even when it hurts. And we need to come to appreciate such counsel. We need to preserve such friendships, for then we will find ourselves walking with the wise. The final characteristic to look for in a friendship which will lead towards wisdom is compassion. Trustworthy friends are compassionate. He takes into consideration the feelings of his friends. Because of that, he has a deep sensitivity so that he can say the right thing at the right time. Honestly, he won't always get the timing right, but as he demonstrates compassion in his heart, that compassion will become evident, and even an ill-timed remark will be received well. If counsel is what he says, compassion is how he says it. Solomon observed in Proverbs 25:20, whoever sings a song to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. A wise man knows it's not enough to be right. Even if we are right, God wants us to humble ourselves with restraint. A wise man doesn't answer every insult. A wise man doesn't correct every fault. A wise man understands that silence can preserve a friendship. And by the way, it can preserve a marriage. The opposite is also true. If you refuse to speak to your spouse for a long period of time, that can be detrimental to your marriage. Just keep that in mind. There has to be some balance there. A wise man knows when to hold them, and he knows when to fold them. That's my take on Proverbs 25:17. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Friends with compassion are considerate of where you are in your life. They understand that love covers a multitude of sins, or as Solomon says in Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, and he who repeats a matter separates close friends. A compassionate friend will cry with you, pray with you, and never betray you. The New Living Translation renders Proverbs 18:24 like this. There are friends, in quotes, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. A real friend is compassionate enough to make sure that his words bring healing rather than harm. The type of friendships we long for are those marked by consistency, friends who love at all times. The type of friendships which will move us towards God-honoring lives are those where mutual counsel is given and sought. The type of friendships which we can actually embrace for long periods of life are those marked by mutual compassion. So how do you find such people? First and foremost, and perhaps the only real key to finding such individuals, is to become such an individual. Choose to love at all times. As believers in Christ, we shouldn't need to be reminded of this, but in my observation, many of the interpersonal relationship problems which have risen often arise out of believers simply not obeying the biblical mandate of Philippians 4:8 and 1 Corinthians 13. We focus upon the bad rather than the good. We bring up stuff from the past rather than dropping a list of our litany list. We just disobey Scripture. If you want to be a friend worth having, first choose to love at all times. Emblazon on your mind Philippians 4:8 and 1 Corinthians 13, and commit between yourself and God that you will always be the person who thinks what is good and what is right and upright and worthy of good report. You will forgive. You will seek the best. Choose to love at all times. Second, you choose to love at all time, and you will be able to recognize others who do the same. Then choose to risk a friendship by offering wise counsel. If it is well received, you have discovered a potential friendship of virtue. And finally, always choose compassion. Compassion begets compassion. You can see it when others give it. Be this type of friend and choose this type of friend. Interesting thing. Jesus talked to his disciples and he said to them, I no longer call you my slaves, but I call you my friends. Because Jesus has chosen to love us at all times. Jesus has given us ample, wise counsel, and he is full of compassion. So I suppose the way to be that type of friend is to do all you can to live like Jesus would live. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have given us a great example of the type of friendship which will transform our lives. That Jesus walked this earth as the friend of sinners. Help us to be the type of individual others would want to be friends of, and help us to discover individuals who reflect Christ in a life of consistency, of counsel, and compassion. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.